Well, tonight, I want to speak to you just a few minutes, Lord willing, on the title of Are You Resting or Reaping? Are you resting or reaping? We're talking about reaching out to our community this month. And if you would turn to Matthew chapter 9, some very familiar passage of Jesus, and he's doing one wonderful miracle after another. And when you get to Matthew chapter 9, if you don't care, stand and let's read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 27. And the word says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men following him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. And then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And they went out. Behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, Notice this, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. That was their response. In verse 35, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let us pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that you look at us with compassion. And Lord, you love us. And God, when we were sinners, undeserving of you, Lord, you looked at us with love and compassion. You reached out. And God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see as you see. And Almighty God, this community that's hurting at this very moment, that God, that you would use this church and this group of people, Lord, as a vessel to reach out in this time and hour of need. And God, that they see your love, just as Jesus set the example here, that we would see the love of Christ in this body. And Lord, that we would be able to, Lord, minister to them. And Lord, that you would bring in the lost and do a mighty work that we can't even imagine. And I thank you, Lord, for that is the purpose and the goal of the church. And we thank you for it. And God, open our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated again. Just want to talk just a few minutes on are you resting or are you reaping? The other night during the storm, I won't go into any gory details. But I knew with the job I've got, I normally don't have to go on that many ambulance runs, but I knew it was going to be bad. And I was mostly worried about my family wanting to get them to safety. I didn't want to have to worry that something was happening to them during this thing that looked like it was going to happen. Statistically, it was going to happen. And so I got them to my mom and dad's, and dad got home and felt like they were safe. And I stayed there as long as I could until we got the first reports of collapsed buildings and people inside. And so I responded and I knew it was going to be something that you don't prepare. When you go through training, you don't prepare for some of these things you're going to see. But the thing that shocked my mind that is the total despair of what we seen. People were hurting and people were in a mess, and they were just, when I played my mind back, the people that they didn't know what was going on. They didn't even realize, even though they knew a tornado was coming through, they were so shocked at what had happened. They were just walking around aimlessly in the dark. It's like they were didn't even know where they was going. They were just walking in fields and walking. It was crazy. And people were hurting and people were trapped. And some people were even killed, as we know. And it was something that will stick in my mind the rest of my life. But I seen something that with this evangelism I seen, and I was able to associate that with the spiritual condition of this community. There is people that are just worse condition even than that in this community. And they're waiting to see someone if they're going to come and rescue them. They're going through trouble. They've had a crisis in their life and they're hurting. And they don't know where to turn, and they can't help themselves. And they're looking, is anybody going to come to my rescue? Is anybody going to come help me, because I can't help myself? And I don't know where to go, and I don't know what to do. And that's why even in our community, the drug culture is so rampant, and there is so much drug use that it's just about unbelievable, the statistics. It's why suicide is in such an increase. It's why people's marriages are destroyed. That's why there's such turmoil in this county. I'm not talking about what's going on in California. I'm talking about in Laurel County, Kentucky. We have devastation going on in homes and lives. And just like this crisis that we went through. Now, I will say on this crisis, when you find out that there's 66 homes that has totally been destroyed and annihilated, 200 homes that's been very much damaged, it is a miracle. God's grace was here that not more than 5 people lost their lives. I'm so sorry for those 5 people. But God's grace is no doubt evident in the fact that we didn't lose more people than that. But you know what? We see God's grace because he wants to reach out to the lost, and he's reaching out. And that's what we're looking at in the verses that we read here. There's 5 types of people. We want to look at the different types of people that the Lord reached out to. And that's what he wants us to do tonight. And these type of people is not going to be the ones that's going to be comfortable. Just like when we had some names, and thank God up 2 of the 3 names is already gone. We just got 1 more to go. But when we're handing out names, it gets you out of your comfort zone, doesn't it? You don't know who some people are that needs to be reached out to, but they're everyone a soul in it. Just imagine if that were you, and you didn't have the answers, and you were looking at every place but the right place, and maybe one person might come and tell you about it. We have a whole community of over 60,000 people, and the majority of those people are lost. They're lost. They're looking for something, and they're looking at every place but the right places. But Jesus ministered to those people that no one else would even pay attention to. It's amazing when you look at how much he gave and how little we seemingly are willing to give. You see, it is miraculous. If you look at this whole entire chapter, it's almost like shotgun miracles. It's Jesus is everywhere he's turned, he's healing. We see him earlier that day. He's on his way to Jairus' daughter who's died. And on his way to Jairus' house, the woman with the issue of blood touches him and is healed miraculously. 12 years. No one can help her. She's healed. He goes to Jairus' house and the girl is dead. They gave up on her. You can just go away, master. She's dead. But he touched her and he raised her up. What a miraculous thing. He goes from that house to another house, and behind him is 2 blind men calling on him. And when he sits down, they walk into the house at the beginning of these verses that I read, and they come to him and ask him to heal him. And all he says, do you think I can do that? Do you think that you can be healed? Is that what you think I can do? Yes, Lord. And it says that he laid his hands. Oh, isn't it amazing that God would reach out and touch you? You know what? He touches even today, even in these altars. He's wanting to touch some people, and he wants to use us, and he wants to reach out and touch some more people in this community. But he reached out and he touched these blind men. In verse 27, it says, and when Jesus departed thence, 2 blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto him, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. He just did a mighty miraculous thing here. And what we're contrasting this is the Pharisees that we're going to see their comment here in a minute. They're not really concerned about these people. They're just an obstacle. They're just someone that's kind of in the way. They're just someone that they really haven't got time for. And they walk by these people every day, and they're not reaching out to minister to their needs. But it seems like the people that are hurting the worst, the people who are the greatest outcast, the people who are the people that most people don't even want to talk to or associate with, that's who Jesus is reaching out to. That's who he loves. And that's the people that is so desiring in this community for someone to reach out to them. I know they don't. Some of them don't smell the best, and some of them doesn't look like what you might feel comfortable with, and some of them has got some earrings and so many places you can't hardly count, and there's just some scary things that you don't know what to deal with, but the Lord loves them just as much as He loves us, and we can see that He reaches out to those. The first type that He reached out to, we see here, is He reached out, and all these are going to be B's, but those that were blind, He reached out and He touched these two blind men. And when He healed him, He said, what did He say? Did He say, go tell everybody what I did? He says, don't go tell anybody. The Pharisees, on the contrast, if they gave money, they wanted trumpets sounding. They want everybody on the street corner to know what they were doing. But Jesus did the miraculous, and He would say to them, don't tell anybody what I've done for you. But what it says, when they left that place, they could not contain it. Everywhere they went, they said, let me tell you about a man who's just changed my entire life. Isn't that the way and what He wants to do in lives? You know what? We have people in this community that are spiritually blind. They have looked for God in everything and everywhere. They've watched a television evangelist, and they've given money and offerings, and they've tried different churches one after the other. They've tried rosary beads, and they've went to everything in the world, and they've tried everything they can, and they still can't find what they're looking for. And Jesus' heart is reaching out for those that are blind. How many people in this community are so blind they don't know the answer? They're looking to drugs. They're looking to relationships. They're looking for everything. And the true answer is Jesus Christ. And He puts Himself within us, and He wants to bubble over inside of us to where we just can't help but to tell someone else that we see that He is the answer they're looking for. Secondly, He's reaching out to those in this community that are bound. We see in chapter 9, verse 32 and 33, and they went out. Behold, they brought, immediately, as soon as they left, here comes someone else. They brought to Him a dumb man possessed with a devil. He couldn't speak. This man was bound by Satan, and he wasn't even able to speak. You see, this man was under bondage. This man had no way to help himself. He couldn't even ask. He couldn't even pray. He couldn't even tell the Lord what He wanted him to do. They brought this man that was under such bondage that he had no way to help himself. How many people do you know that is so entrapped in drugs? And so they want help, but they don't even know how. They don't know how. There is no program that's going to help these people, but Jesus Christ is the answer they're looking for. And He wants us to reach out to those people in our community that are bound by things that we don't feel comfortable with, but we can know that the right answer for their problem is everyone is Jesus Christ. He can break the bondage that binds them. He can give them freedom that they've never known. This man had been bound, and people just avoided him, probably afraid of him. And we see that they brought him in, and Jesus laid His hands upon him, and that demon came forth, and it says his tongue was loosed, and he was able to speak. What was the people's response? What was the people's response when they seen this? And it says that the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. They're not just talking about this one instance. These people are following Jesus, and they're seeing Him doing all these miracles, all these miraculous things. He's not trying to bring attention to Himself. But everywhere you go, the people that are the outcasts, He's reaching out. He's extending His love. He's meeting their needs. And that's what gets people's attention, folks, is when the church reaches out to people that are hurting, when the church reaches out and we spend time trying to get a hold of people and tell them that we love them and we say God is the answer to your problem and we try to draw them into the church. That is what it's going to take to reach this community. It's not going to be a program. It's not going to be a fancy building. It's not going to be anything other than people that will reach out and love the other people and let them know that the Lord is what you're looking for. I love you. And the reason I love you is that He loved me first. And that's what they're looking for. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not preaching this to you because I've got this mastered. I don't have anything, a certificate on my wall because I've met these 5 steps and I've got it under control because this came from repentance in my own heart. You see, in the youth group, I'm really good. They can tell you this. I'm really good once they come in one time to get their phone numbers and their addresses and I'll bug them to death. But it makes a little difference if I don't know who these people are to go out and just find them, to go out here into the community and just find young people. That's a hard thing to do. That's what we're talking about this month. It is something that goes against our normal human nature is to go to do the unknown. Some of you may love that. Some of you just may thrive on meeting new people and you're not afraid of anybody. Zach, is that kind of a person. He doesn't meet a stranger, and he would thrive in that type of environment. Me, even though I'm loud, and you all find this hard to believe, I'm really backward when it comes to meeting new people. I really don't enjoy it. But once I do, I'm so grateful I did. You know, I see the Lord moving. But God wants us to go past those boundaries and to reach out to those that are blind in our community, those that are bound. Let me tell you something. You could be the only person that will ever bring them that message of hope. It's not going to be giving offerings. It's not going to be going to certain places. It's going to be Jesus Christ that they're looking for. And we need to show someone that we care. Not only did he deal with those that were bound and those that were broken, but we see that he deals with those that were bypassed. We see that the injured man, just like in the story of the parable of the Jew that it came out of Jerusalem, and we see the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, of where this man was robbed and beaten to where he was unconscious, and he was left to die. And we see that the people that should have been the religious people came first. And we see what was their response. They're coming down the road, and they've got their regal robes on, and they're wanting everybody to see how great and holy they are. And they see this man bleeding and dying in the road. And he's a Jew. They should respond to him. But when they see him, they have different opinions. They kind of step out of the way. Maybe nobody will see that I'm actually not even going to talk to him. I'm not going to worry about it. As long as nobody sees me, it's no big deal. I've got somewhere to go. How many times have you had an opportunity to reach out to someone and it's just been inconvenience for you? I can say I've done that many a time. The Lord opened a door for me to reach out to someone. At that very minute, I had other plans. I was doing something else. I had some other things going on. It wasn't a convenient time for me. And you go through this battle. Are you going to do it? Or are you going to hold back and say, God, I'll do it at a better time? God has the perfect time every time. And when he opens the door, most of the time, it will not be a convenient time for you. But you can count on this. When you are calling out on God and you say, God, I want to do more. I want to be a vessel that you can use. When he opens the door, it's the perfect time. You can count on that. God knows exactly what he's doing. And God is opening a door. And people, when they're going through things like they're going through right now in this community, they're hurting and they're broken and they don't have the answers. And they're looking for answers. And are we going to give them the answers, or are we going to let somebody else tell them something that isn't true? Or are they just going to come up with something on their own? They're hurting and they're looking. But Jesus is looking for those that are bypassed by everyone else. Those that are people that are on the fringes of this community and they're hurting. Are we going to pass them by too? Are we going to reach out like that Good Samaritan did that stopped everything he was doing? He picked this man up. He took him and he bandaged him and he took him to an inn and they poured oil in his wounds and they bound him up and he told them, you finish taking care of him and anything else it costs, I'll be back and I'll pay for it. He didn't just end it there and say, well, I've done my good deed. I took him and dropped him off at the Motel 8. He took and took care of his needs, and he left him, and he took care of the financial situation, and he made a point he was going to get back with this man. He wasn't done ministering to him. Let me tell you something. That's why this ministry, this yarn ministry, is such an impact, because it goes beyond the norm. A lot of people, it's very easy to, and I'm not putting down on this because I think it's still a good ministry, because Paul did it. He took his robe, his cloths, and he sweat. He took those cloths and sent them out, and people were healed. So a lot of it's easy for churches to buy a box of a little pieces of handkerchiefs and anoint them and send them out, and that's great. But when somebody sees that you have taken the time to make this beautiful, time-consuming, expensive thing that you have handmade for them that they can't go to Walmart and buy, and you have taken the time to do something like this for them, and over 200 of these, as I heard the other night, that's went out, let me tell you something, it has an impact. People talk about that because someone did something beyond what the comfort zone was. They did something that cost them something. They did something that was beyond what anybody else is doing, and that's why it has impact. If you want to see God move, go beyond what the expected is. Go that second mile. Reach out to those. Find someone and go beyond what it would take to just satisfy your conscience and say, I'm going to go the extra mile. Lord, if you open the door and you supply the way, I'm going to reach out. Go to those that are bypassed by the rest of the community and reach out and show them love. Listen, that's what the church's number one goal is to love and show their love to the community and to the others and let them see there's something different about you. It is not normal in the culture that we live in for someone to love someone that they can't give anything back to them. This culture is used to people using them. And every time you do something good for them, they're looking for an angle. Why are they doing this to me? Because they're trying to get something. I know they're trying to get something out of it. But when you look at the life of Christ, he never gained anything. When he did good for people, he said, don't even tell anybody what I did. I did it because I loved you. And they looked in his eyes and they seen a love that they'd never seen before. These men who said they were religious leaders, who was representing God to them, didn't even care, didn't know their name, but someone is different. He's reaching out. He's giving everything he got. He sleeps just a few hours a day from the time he gets up to the time he goes to bed. He's ministering to needs. I was thinking as I was praying, these disciples, it doesn't tell what's going on, but you see these miracles and people are thronging him. Person leaves and here comes someone else in. I'm out there thinking, you know what? We haven't even had supper yet. I wish people would quit coming. Or they're thinking, you know, I'd like to get a little sleep tonight. We only got 3 hours last night because people kept coming till 2 a.m. and they're thinking about themselves. But Jesus is sitting there almost tartlessly saying, as long as they'll come, I'll minister to them. As many people as I can reach out. We see him that he's going where? Into the cities and into the outcast, into the not only just the cities, but it says in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Every one of them. He's not satisfied with just getting the most of them. He's just saying, is there someone else I can touch? Is there someone else I can minister to? Is there someone else I can reach out to? Do you know why the throng kept coming? Do you know why the multitudes kept coming? Because the word kept going out. Let me tell you about a man who just changed my life and he had nothing to gain by it. And people would hear and they've been hurting and they've been bruised and they've never found anybody that really loved them like this. And they're coming to see a man who loved them and that could meet their needs like no one else. That's why the multitudes just kept coming. But I love verse 36. This first word just caught my attention as I was reading this. It tells about him doing all these miracles and he's doing all these healings and he's teaching and he's preaching and he's healing the sick and every disease among them. But stop. Wait a minute. But something's happened here. What is it saying? What has changed? What's going on? But when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Now, when you look at that word, moved, that's really not a great translation. If you look at that word, moved, what that really is talking about is an intense, violent, painful, deep hurt inside his very soul. Inside him, and one translation says, his very bowels yearned for them. He was doing good and he could have said, oh, I'm doing as much as I can do. And he's healing as many people as he can heal. But he looks out as he comes out the door and the multitude is so great. And he looks in the eyes of the people that are hurting and hungry for someone to touch them and to love them and show them what God is really like. And it says he had to stop and just hurt. It was almost like when he cried out at Lazarus' tomb, that anguish that come from the center of him. There is an anguish that rises up within him when he sees the condition of the people around him, and it just did something to him. What was amazing is no one else seen it. No one else has even got an idea of what's going on. They didn't see what he saw. They just see people. They just see nuisances. They just see hindrances. They just see someone taking their time and maybe a little sleep. But he looks at them and he sees the harvest field. He sees people who are needing someone to reach out. And all these Pharisees. And what does the Pharisees say? All they could do while Jesus is meeting these needs is, oh, he's casting out devils in the power of the devil. All they can do is try to slander him and say he's doing something in the power of the devil. Did you see him reach out to them? Does it ever say in any of these verses that the Pharisees went out and tried to minister to these people? No, they turned their back. They wasn't even available. They didn't show the love of Christ. But Christ was sitting here and he stops and he's wounded. He's hurting when he sees into the eyes of these people. And we see his response. That's what he wants us to do, folks. He wants us to look at our community. And he wants us to realize as we see these people, every one of them is a soul and they're on a destination somewhere. And is that destination heaven or hell? They're only on one of two destinations. There is no in between. They're on their way to heaven or they're on their way to hell. And he looks in the eyes of people in anguish that are hurting and they've been looking to the religious leaders and they haven't been meeting their needs. And his heart leaps within him. He's in pain. He's in agony. Why? Because he sees the multitude and he has compassion on them because they fainted. The reason this word fainted means you've been under such a heavy load You can't go another step. They have been put this load. The Pharisees were just putting on them more rules. They were putting on rules on them. They weren't even living themselves. And then we said, if you want to know God, you got to do this. And if you want to make it to heaven, you got to add this to all these rules that we've given you. And these people are just wandering aimlessly around, just like I seen the other night. And they're just wandering around looking for someone to help them. And they can't carry the load anymore. They don't know where to go. And they're in such a horrible situation that he looks upon them and he compares them to sheep wandering, looking for the shepherd. You see, the sheep without the shepherd is in a dangerous situation. It's sudden. It's going to be sure death if there's not a shepherd. And these men who should have been the pastors, these men who should have been reaching out for God, is turned their backs and have done nothing but make the situation worse. But Christ looks at them and he loves them. He is the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd, and he's seen the sheep, and he wanted them to just know that he loved them, and he had a plan for their lives, and he wanted to work in their lives. Verse the number 5, those he met and will meet the needs of those that I've just talked about, the burdened, these people that are burdened down with cares, and they don't have any way to carry the load. He has came to meet their need. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What did he say? What was his response when he seen them? Verse 37 says, then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He's looking at the opportunity and he's amazed. Nobody else even sees it. No one else sees an opportunity here. No one else is seeing their pain. No one else has compassion on them. And he's sitting here. He's give every ounce of strength he's got. And he looks around and there's no one else doing anything. And tonight, isn't that the way that we find ourselves many times? We look around and people are hurting and people are needing someone to tell them about Jesus. What an awesome thing if in the cards that we passed out tonight, if you all that took a card, if you minister to someone, and you see them Sunday morning, right here, right there. What an impact it will make. You know what's going to happen next Wednesday night? As soon as the cards come out of his hands, somebody will be standing right in front and say, I'll take two. I'll take two. Because you've seen God move and God do the miraculous. He's wanting to reach out. He wants to reach out to our community. Listen, it is not just a coincidence that the circumstances we just went through, that we went through. I'm encouraged by last night. I'm encouraged to see the churches reach out. And let me tell you something. I will give, and I'm about to finish. I will give a wonderful plug to some of our churches in the community that is really, and by the way, Brother Jarvis and Carmichael and some of the other churches is already trying to find things. Our church is trying to find things that we can do. We've been told there's a lot of there's so much stuff being taken to fire departments and some of the churches out there that they're having to say, don't give me anything else. There has been such an outpouring of wonderful people and companies that's just Lowe's brought a tractor and trailer just emptied of stuff. And people are bringing furniture, truckloads of furniture, and there's money, and there's all anything. All you have to do is just say what they need, and people are to bring it. So there has been a great outcry of people that have heard the cry, and they are meeting the needs. They're doing great. But there's going to be more needs, and that's when we're going to be able to communicate with you what they are. Right now, it's hard to find out what they are. But and I will say, was going to say this, that some of the churches in that area has gotten so much stuff by people giving to them that the Red Cross, and the Red Cross is a great thing, but the Red Cross is not able to do their job because the churches has already met the need. The churches is already reaching out in that area to people so greatly that the Red Cross, my understanding is they had a discussion whether they need to close up shop because the people and the churches are meeting the needs so well. No one's coming to the shelters. No one's need. They're not doing anything. It's a tremendous thing. And then we see this community last night that the people of God is reaching out and they're making a difference in the situation with the alcohol vote. Listen, we have, you know what that shows me? That's that little cloud. To show you that this community, that there could be a great revival on the verge. And it's going to start when people see the people of God reaching out to the people in their community and they really love them. And they've got nothing. You've never seen them before, but you love them. It makes a difference. Can you think of somebody that's done something for you like that? It just, you can't get away from it. You cannot get away from someone who reaches out to you and you don't deserve it. You can't do anything to repay them, but they just showed they loved you. You know what? We need to find that in our heart. And we need to say, God, if you would stand, somebody come to the piano. If we need to say, God, open up the door. Give me opportunity to reach out to someone who you want me to speak to. And God, give me the wisdom to know what to say and what to do. And He will. You don't have to have anything planned. God will put the words in your mouth. God will give you exactly what you need to do to reach out to them. Christ said in John 4:35, say not then, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That's Laurel County is what he's talking about. That's exactly what's going on here. It's ripe. It's ripe. The opportunity is there. People are hurting. The harvest is ready. Do you know what happens if we wait too long? It's too late. There's an opportunity. You may say, well, it's not the best time for me. You know what? If not now, when? If not here, where? If not you, who? Opportunity's here, and God wants to reach out. And I know He is. I know He's going to do it. But you know what it needs? Willing vessels. We'll say, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know what to do. But Lord, give me a love like you have. And God, then give me an opportunity to love someone else like you do. And you will see the greatest revival that Laurel County's ever known. It'll start with love. Reaching out. People, when you love them, the walls come down. The walls come down. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. God, I know you're working and speaking. God, I know this is an opportunity that you are going to move in. God, I pray that, God, we not see this opportunity, this harvest that is so ripe, pass by and we miss it. But that, God, that you open our eyes, that you fill this church with your Holy Spirit and a love that goes beyond our understanding. That, God, that we burn with a desire for others who are lost. And, God, that we have opportunities every day, that you open them up and you make it obvious that you're working. And, God, that you would encourage us by letting us do something for you and see the fruit. And God, that it would start like an avalanche of love and compassion and ministry. That's what you have the church here for, is to love as you love. God, do it tonight. Burn, burn within us with your love. Hallelujah. If that's you tonight, just keep your heads bowed for just a second. Is that you? Is God speaking to you? Are you willing to say, God, if you open the door, I'll do it. How many in here tonight would raise your hand and say, God, I want to be that person. You open the door, I'll do it. Just raise your hand. Just admit, God, you open the door. Yes. Hands are going up everywhere. Let me tell you something. That's a dangerous thing to do, because He'll do it every single time. If you mean it, He will do it. He never fails, because there's more people than we can count that He wants to minister to. And He'll do it starting tonight. Let's find a place around this altar. And let's say, God, just surrender yourself. Just surrender yourself. Say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know who it's going to be. But God, you open the door and I'll go through it. Let's find a place and just surrender. Hallelujah.